Hello and welcome back to the Interlude Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Eleonora Toplinski. I started this podcast as a way to share the journeys and experiences of women who are living with cancer. On this show, we talk about anything and everything related to the cancer experience, from chemotherapy to how it affected your marriage, your relationship, side effects, and so much more. The information discussed on this podcast is not meant to serve as medical advice, but instead is meant to create a dialogue. Today, my guest is Tammy Salamone, who was diagnosed with a stage 1 HER2-positive breast cancer about 2 years ago. She had a mastectomy and chemotherapy and Herceptin treatment. On today's episode, she talks about her experience with treatment and recovery and getting back to living after being done. She is a personal trainer, and she talks about how she exercised throughout treatment and how that helped her so much in the recovery period. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and welcome Tammy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you start by telling everyone a little bit about your experience?
Sure. What happened was back in 2017, I went in for a routine mammogram. And after that, the doctor had called me back for additional images, which had happened before. So at that point, you know, I wasn't really too concerned. I go back in for additional images, and then they called me back again for an ultrasound. So at that point, I knew like maybe things were a little different this time, but I'm still, you know, not too concerned at all, thinking there's no way this is going to happen to me. And from that point, they wanted to do a biopsy. And still, even in my head, I'm still thinking, you know, oh, this is going to be fine. There's no way this is going to be cancer. And they had asked me to come back in 3 days. And I said, oh, that's okay. Just, you know, just call me on the phone. Still thinking it's definitely not going to be cancer. And so I got that call 3 days later. And now I think it was March of 2017. And she said, you have breast cancer. And I was just shocked. I remember kind of taking down some notes, really not knowing anything that she was saying. It was all like a whole new language to me, really. I didn't really know much about breast cancer at all. And I had no idea what my future, you know, held at that point, because I couldn't even really understand, you know, what she was saying as far as like stage or what kind it was. Or I was just kind of, like I said, jotting down these notes. And I ended up going back the following week, because that was on a Friday. So I had to go through the weekend, and I went back on that Monday and met with the breast center. And then they kind of, at that point, were explaining everything to me. So from there, I think it was a couple days later, even they called me back for another biopsy, and then they wanted to do a breast MRI. And then the next day they wanted to do another breast MRI. So it was just really snowballing, you know, and I still at that point really didn't know how it was going to all play out. And they kept saying, you know, we've caught this early. It's no big deal. Everything's going to be fine. But your choices at this stage are a lumpectomy with radiation or a mastectomy. So I was just like, wow, I can't believe, you know, these are my two options when it, at that point, is a stage 0 and it's DCIS, and, you know, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. So we go back and forth, my husband and I, and I just didn't know exactly what to do. And one day I'd go lumpectomy and the next day I'd go mastectomy, and finally made my decision to do a double mastectomy. And I just had my, you know, reasons for that, and went ahead with the surgery a couple months later, I think it was. And then the oncologist reported that pathology had found a second bigger tumor that was so far along the chest wall that it was missed by all those scans and tests. She didn't think that it would have been found for probably years, and was so happy that I had done the mastectomy. But unfortunately, it ended up being HER2 positive. So you know how that goes.
Yes. And before we talk about that, can you talk a little bit about your decision to have a lumpectomy or a mastectomy, because that is something that many women struggle with. So for some women, they don't have that option, but a lot of people do. And it's a really difficult decision to make.
Yes, it really was. I kept trying to research. I kept trying to ask other women that I maybe had known, but I really, at that point, didn't know a lot of breast cancer survivors. Unfortunately, I come from a lot of, there's a lot of females in my family. I have a lot of female cousins, my aunts, my mom, my grandmothers, but none of them had had breast cancer. So I still was kind of navigating it on my own. So I would, you know, think about the lumpectomy, and then I'd go with a mastectomy. And for me, it was, I couldn't take the constant, you know, testing, just knowing what I went through for the one, you know, tumor they had found. And I thought, oh gosh, if I only do the one side, then I'm going to continually, you know, be called back for, you know, mammogram and biopsies and MRIs and ultrasounds. And so that was so disruptive to my life. So I figured, you know, I will go with a double mastectomy so I don't have to worry about the other side. Mm-hmm. I was trying to avoid radiation. And so that was also another reason. And then being a fitness trainer, so I'm a personal trainer, I was in tank tops a lot. And I thought, you know, I really want them to look, you know, even, and I wanted them to look good. So, I mean, that was part of my reason as well, because I figured with a lumpectomy, and at that point it was two spots, that possibly, you know, it wasn't going to look too good. So I would go with a double mastectomy. So that was part of my reasoning as well.
You had the mastectomy. What was the recovery time and the recovery experience after that?
Okay. So my recovery after my double mastectomy, I'd say for the first couple of days, I was in quite a bit of pain, but I got up and I was, you know, walking around the hospital, and then I was walking at home and trying to rest as much as I could as well, of course, because you come home with those drains, which were so uncomfortable. I'd never had anything like that before. And so I was trying to, you know, stay calm and low and just kind of rest a lot so that I could get the drains out. But I did end up having those drains for 2 weeks. So up until that point, all I could really do was get up and, you know, walk around a little bit. And then the rest of the time I was pretty much resting. But after the 2 weeks, I was, you know, driving and just back into my usual routine. And I was actually feeling pretty good.
What about the long-term effects of the mastectomy? So a lot of times people find that a couple of months after the fact, they will start having some burning pain. Did any of that happen to you?
Yes. I, for some reason, it would be always right around dinner time, would have these excruciating pains that would just shoot through my chest. And I really, even to this day, I'm not sure if it was kind of the nerves that were, you know, kind of dying, or you probably know a lot more than I do. But it was shocking, and it always came right around dinner time, and it probably lasted for about, on and off, for about a month. And so that was kind of surprising. And then other than that, I guess the hardest thing was not having any feeling, you know, in your breasts at all. It's just so shocking. And you think that, you know, it's not going to be as bad as you think, but it is. It's pretty shocking, and it does, like, affect, you know, your marriage. And, you know, for my husband, my breasts look the same, but I know that, you know, for me, they don't feel the same. So, you know, it's been a kind of a learning experience for both of us. And with time now, it's definitely gotten a lot better. I mean, I've even kind of kept them covered, I think, for the most part, you know, where I probably wasn't like that before, but they're starting to become like more like a part of me. But that has taken time. So it's been 2 years since the double mastectomy. And I'd say in the last 6 months, I finally started to feel like these actually, you know, belong to me. They're a part of me. Mm-hmm.
After the mastectomy, it was recommended that you have chemotherapy with Herceptin?
Yes, it was after the pathology report. So before, you know, the mastectomy, I was going to have that surgery followed by the reconstruction, you know, and finish. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, when they found the second tumor, because it was HER2 positive, she now recommended that I have the 12 weeks of Taxol, which is the chemo, and then a year of Herceptin infusions, which for whoever doesn't know, you do that every 3 weeks for a year. So I was just, you know, devastated again. Here I thought, you know, I've made it this far. I was so, you know, it was so sad for me to have to go through the double mastectomy, but I got through that. And then this just all came down on me, and I really didn't know how I was going to ever get through that year. It just was overwhelming, and I really did just want to kind of run away at that point. I thought, I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm mentally strong enough. I knew physically I could probably do it, but mentally I didn't know if I was strong enough to do it.
And what was it like?
That is interesting, because not knowing really anyone, you know, that had gone through it, I didn't know, will I get sick on the first day? Will I lose my hair right away? You know, what is it going to be like? Will I be so tired? You know, can I still cook and clean and work out? And I was really surprised that for the first 6 weeks, I really didn't have many side effects. I still had most of my hair. I was feeling pretty good. It was shocking. And I was starting to even work out a little bit with light weights again, which I really strongly believe that working out before, you know, during, and now after has really been a huge, huge help to my recovery and bouncing back so quickly.
What kind of exercise did you do?
For me, that was also, I was always kind of looking for stuff on the internet, like, can you work out during chemo? Can you do a push-up again? Is it safe to work out, you know, during treatment? And I didn't find a lot at that time. So I just used my professional, you know, knowledge that I had and experience. And I tried to keep my arms, you know, close to my side. And I started all the way back really from ground, you know, zero. And I went with like some 3-pound weights, you know, and then I would go up to like 5-pound weights. And I would do things that I felt no pain with. If I felt any pain, you know, I was not going to do it. And then I just kind of slowly and surely built myself back up. And I did it very slowly over, I'd say, probably a year's time, because I didn't want to, you know, damage anything internally. And I didn't know exactly what I could and could not do. But I started to do light weights. And then I did a lot of walking. So that helped me quite a bit too. I think it helped mentally and physically.
Exercise during treatment is the most important thing. And I tell all my patients, you know, listen to your body, do what you can, but make sure you're getting out and moving your body every day, because it really helps with the fatigue and emotionally, and the endorphins from exercise. I mean, the benefits are really innumerable.
Yes.
Now, you're a personal trainer. So what advice would you give to someone who says, I know I need to exercise, but I'm not an active person to begin with? How do people start to become active? You know, it's one thing if you're already doing it, you know what to do, but what if you really are, you're using your diagnosis to truly get healthy?
Right. I think the most important thing is find something that you love, because if you can't stick with it, you know, you can't do it for long term, then you won't continue to do it. There's got to be something, you know, that you enjoy that you can start with, whether it's yoga or dancing, walking, swimming, you know, something like that. I always try and tell my clients. And then I've just been reading so many studies that have said that the survival rate is so high, and the reoccurrence rate of breast cancer goes way down with exercise. And really not that much exercise. We're only talking about moderate, you know, walking, just a few hours a week can really change your outcomes. And so that is so motivating to me. And I really want to spread that to other women, because I feel like it's free. You know, it doesn't really cost us anything. Almost anyone can do it, as long as, you know, just walking.
Yeah, so there's definitely data that exercise lowers your risk of recurrence. And I think along with that, people who are exercising do tend to eat better and live healthier lifestyles. So it's a magnified effect.
Right. Yes. I feel that as well. When I work out for the day, I always feel like you want to eat better. So like you said, it's kind of one thing leads to the next and it's kind of the snowball effect, but it's all positive.
Yes. I mean, there's definitely only good things that come from that. As you went through treatment and chemotherapy, what side effects did you experience?
Yes, for me, it was about that halfway point, of course, you know, losing your hair, but everyone goes through that. Very, very difficult. But the one thing that I probably suffered most with were the mouth sores. And I got them in my mouth and my throat and to the point where I couldn't swallow anymore. And that was very, very difficult. But luckily, my oncologist was right on top of it. And she gave me a prescription, some medication that helped so much so that I could at least, you know, eat again. And I think that was probably one of the worst. And then I would also get these horrible bloody noses where it was just going to bleed for 20 minutes and there was nothing I could do about it. And I knew if I got one, okay, that's it. I just got to let this, you know, play itself out for 20 minutes. And so ultimately, you know, that those were the two main things I kind of dealt with. And then after the 6 weeks, I just became nauseous to the point where the day after, I would just kind of have to sit there on the couch the whole day. Nothing really helped me, but then I would bounce right back, you know, the day after that.
And then what about when you were done with the 12 weeks? How was the experience of Herceptin?
Yeah, Herceptin, I'd say overall was very easy for me. It was hard mentally just because it was going on and on and on. And I'm a type of person who wants to kind of just check things off. And if I can get it done early, you know, I will. But with this, I could not rush it. And I had to really learn some patience there. And just kind of keep going through. At least I could check off, you know, each one, knowing that every time I'd have one of those treatments, I was getting a little closer. But mentally and physically, I was getting very tired. And I don't know if the exhaustion came from the Herceptin or just from, you know, me just being overall tired from the whole process of it all. But when I finally actually had found out about Herceptin and the doctor who had discovered it and the women who had been in the trials who, you know, died so that I could live, that changed a lot for me. And that came about midway through my Herceptin treatments. So it helped me get through that last 6 months. And it was a big shift in my attitude because I thought, instead of being down about this, I should really be grateful for this.
That's a great perspective, and it's amazing how much an attitude shifts really just changes your perspective on going through the treatment.
Yes, and also I had some wonderful ladies that I met in my chemo group, and they finished their chemo, and then they kept coming to my Herceptin appointments, and I thought for sure I'm going to be alone, you know, a couple times. But every single one, even though they were done, they came to sit with me. And they are just the sweetest ladies. And I'll just never forget that. We'll always be probably, you know, they'll be some of my best friends now for life.
That's wonderful. How long did it take you to kind of feel back to yourself after you were done with treatment?
I would say about 6 to 9 months after I had finished Herceptin. So it was in June of last year. So it's only been a little over a year, but about like 6 to 9 months after that, I was really actually feeling, you know, like my old self, getting my strength back, just a little tired. I noticed that if I overdid it for the day, then I'm going to be pretty tired at night. So I did kind of like have to, you know, take my rest. Now being a little over a year, I mean, it really is shocking. People meet me and they have no idea. And even sometimes I forget about it, which is really nice, but it's kind of something that's, I guess, always on my mind because I'm always now trying to help other women who are either starting or in it or, you know, past it at different points. And that's been just so great because it was so helpful to me. Now I just love giving back to, you know, the other survivors and patients.
And are you doing that in any formalized way or just people that you interact with?
Right now I have found most of them through, it's either been Instagram or Facebook. A lot of people have found me there, which is, it's just so, it's exciting. It's a really neat way to see a positive aspect for social media. And I love when, you know, a woman will tell me that I was so afraid and you made me feel so much better because I felt that same exact way. I was just so fearful and I didn't want to put poison in my body and I didn't know what it would be like. And I love being able to help them. And then sadly, there's been people at my church who have been diagnosed after me. And also there was a wonderful neighbor, beautiful friend. She's been diagnosed. So yeah, you just never know now that I've put it out there. And at first I wasn't sure, like, I think I'll kind of hide this and maybe I won't tell anybody, you know, that I went through this, but then it just starts coming out. And I saw so much positive from that I can't imagine, you know, not telling everyone what I've went through so that I can at least help someone.
And I know that you're helping so many women because by sharing your story and talking about how you went through it and how you recovered, that helps other people know that they're going to come out on the other side.
Right. Because I did have days where I thought, I am never going to be the same. I can't believe it. I'd look in the mirror and I thought, oh, I look like I've aged 10 years. You know, I have no hair and your skin just is dry and it just doesn't look very good. And I thought, I am never going to look the same. And I had told myself, I'm not going to let this, you know, change me. I'm going to do everything I can. And I fought, you know, not to gain weight. It's so very difficult through treatment and the steroids. But I fought. And now, yeah, I love that, you know, someone could see me and have no idea. And that there is definitely hope that you'll be a better person. You won't be the same person, but you will be actually a better person when it's all done.
How did you become that better new person? Are there things that you did when you were done with treatment that helped you both emotionally and physically?
As someone else has asked me that as well, I guess it's just come from helping the other women. I think there's a whole new appreciation for life, definitely. I'll do things now more maybe where I would have said no before. I want to travel and I want to try new things. And before, I think I just took that for granted. You know, I just thought, well, you know, I have plenty of years. I have my whole life, right? I can do all kinds of stuff. But now knowing that you just don't know, especially when you go through something like this, you just start to really appreciate every day. So I think there was just this mental, like, kind of switch in me that happened when I was finally all done and I saw, gosh, I am, you know, getting stronger and I am coming back. And that, I don't know when, I really can't quite pinpoint it, but you have to stay positive. Definitely. You've got to try and find, you know, somehow, some way, the positive aspect. And it's okay if you have down days, because I had them, but just after that, pick yourself back up, you know, that next day and just try and find some good and know that even when you're in it, you can still live your life. You'll have some bad days, but ultimately you can still live your life even through treatment.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's get a little personal if you don't mind. So you are married and you have 3 daughters.
Right.
What was your diagnosis like on your family dynamic?
For the most part, they kept it, I think, all inside. My girls were still going on with their lives, and my husband as well. They were going to work, you know, in school, and I didn't see a lot. But then I found out later that, you know, it was really bothering them inside. They didn't show it though. I was so proud of them. They kept their grades up there. Like I said, they were just, it seemed like everything was going on pretty normally for them. I felt like they were living their lives while I was just kind of like, you know, sitting there on the couch watching mine, you know, pass me by at the moment. But ultimately, they seem like they're doing very well. I think seeing me bounce back quickly, that helps them too. And then at the beginning, you know, you don't know really, is mom going to be okay? And there's surgeries, and that is scary. But then every time I'd have one, and then I'd, you know, start to improve and, you know, oh, I'm back to my old self again. I tried, you know, my best to do that quickly for them, I think, as well. And it kind of helped them get through it.
How would you recommend for someone to tell their daughters or their sons that they are diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah, it's not easy. I know I kept kind of denying it at first when, you know, they kept calling me back for tests. I kept telling them, like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And then, yeah, I just remember one by one telling them, like, you know, they said I have breast cancer, but, you know, it's going to be fine. I'm going to do this, you know, surgery. I'm going to do this chemo. I think they felt kind of bad for me too. I think they were sad that my whole life was put on hold. My hair was like so important to me. Oh gosh, that was just so difficult. And I just kind of sat them down. I was honest with them, but they were older. They were at the time, 12 and 15 and 17. So, you know, that was old enough to comprehend, you know, what was happening.
Did the cancer diagnosis and treatment, how did it affect your marriage?
Overall, I think it's made it stronger now. Just like any other couple, you know, we had good times and bad times. But when this happened, I really saw how he was right there for me. He went to all my initial appointments. He always would ask questions that I probably would not have thought asking. And if the doctor said, you know, we recommend that we do this, he'd say, you know, why are we going to do this? And, you know, what are the percentages? Like, how will this help her, you know, ultimately? And things like that. He questioned things and he was right there by my side. And I know that he wanted to probably do it for me, but he couldn't do the actual chemo and the Herceptin. So he, you know, he definitely was a great support. It's brought us closer together. But it was, you know, tough as far as like my body changing. That was a bit of an adjustment. But ultimately now I feel like we've got through it. But we had to really talk about a lot. And I had to kind of tell him, you know, like, you know, I don't have any feeling in my breasts. So when you touch them, it doesn't do anything for me. So, you know, maybe we can just kind of avoid that right there for a while and stuff like that. So that was kind of a learning experience, but he's just so kind and sweet and loving that he was right there, you know, with me and wanted to do whatever that would help to make me feel more comfortable.
I love that. And I love that, you know, what you're touching on is the importance of communication.
Yes.
A lot of times, right, people will tell me, well, I don't necessarily think my family understands what I'm going through. But when people say that, they haven't told their family what they're going through.
Right. That was so important for me to be able to just tell him. I would actually tell him the days where I was just so sad and I don't think I can go on. Like, I don't think I can do it. I just cannot get up tomorrow and, you know, go to another Herceptin appointment or, you know, whatever it was. And so that was great. And I don't know what I would have done without that. I needed to be able to express that to him, you know, for the good days and the bad days. And he saw it all. And he made me feel beautiful. And my girls too. I mean, I would pass by the mirror and I thought, oh my gosh, especially when your eyebrows and your eyelashes fall out, it's so upsetting. And they never made me feel like, wow, you know, mom, you do not look like yourself. Never, never, never once said anything. I think I was more like embarrassed for them to see me looking like that. But I never felt that coming from them because I don't know, I guess they probably knew how I felt. So they continued, and my husband as well, always tried to make me feel like, you know, everything was still the same. I looked just as beautiful as ever. And that was just that was a great, great help to me.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's talk about fitness and exercise and nutrition, because everyone wants to know about that.
You know, for me, before, I was working out 6 days a week, and I never eat fast food. I even, you know, I always try and sleep my 7 or 8 hours. I don't drink. I never smoked. You know, I thought, you know, I'm doing everything right. And I remember telling my breast surgeon, how could this happen to me? You know, if this happened to me, then, well, it can happen to anyone, you know? And she goes, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. And I remember I was embarrassed to tell my personal training clients, because here I was, right, telling them that this is all, you know, good things that you should be doing. And then I got breast cancer. So that part was difficult, but ultimately, you know, my clients and everyone were so supportive. And then still, like I had mentioned before, the fitness level, oh my gosh. I mean, I would just have the surgeries, you know, and I'd be up within hours walking around. Or if I had chemo and I had a nauseous day, you know, within 24 hours, I was just right back to doing whatever I was doing before. So I really, yeah, I just can't stress enough. And then as far as the diet, I kind of went through what tasted good, because I wasn't too sure about with chemo, but I didn't have any major, you know, things that, oh, something tasted really bad or major cravings. I just tried to make very healthy choices. Always trying to have like something, you know, in my stomach. But yeah, I wasn't like following any particular kind of diet or anything. And I've kind of always been that way where, you know, I feel like you should, you know, enjoy your life, but maybe if you're trying to lose weight, maybe just have a little less of what you're, you know, usually eating. And you know, exercise more, maybe eat a little less, but move more, but never like starving or never 100% of, I never cut out like one food group or anything like that.
What does a typical day look like for you in terms of what you're eating and what exercise you're doing?
For me now, I actually continued through everything still 6 days a week. If all I could do was walk on the treadmill for an hour, you know, I did it. So I still continue 6 days a week, I do something, but now I'm getting much, much stronger. Well, I will do more weights and some cardio, and I kind of mix it up. I do like to do that. So I do at least an hour a day. And then as far as eating, yeah, I just try and have, you know, protein, fruits and vegetables. That's always kind of been important to me. But then if I want, you know, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with some bread, I have that too. And then I always have like a treat. I'll always have like even a dark piece of dark chocolate or something like that. I don't know. I guess especially now being through this too, I feel like, well, life's too short. Got to have a little something. So I don't restrict it too much, but I was able to, you know, not gain weight through the whole treatment, even though if it would go up a couple pounds, you know, I just like, well, I'm going to log what I eat. That's been a great help. I still do that. Sometimes just seeing what you're eating makes you realize, oh, maybe I am having a little too much of this or that. And it just kept me a little more accountable. And I do continue to do that. And I think it helps me to kind of, you know, keep my weight stable. And then the exercise, I'm just slowly getting stronger and stronger.
What do you say to all of these claims that you shouldn't eat dairy or you shouldn't eat meat or you shouldn't, you know, what's your take on all of that?
Yeah, for me, I feel like if you can't live with it long term, then it's probably not going to work out. You know, anything that is usually, you know, you've got to take maybe this supplement or these shakes, that worries me as well, because are you going to be able to take those supplements or those shakes for the rest of your life? I don't really like anything that costs a lot of money, you know, for someone to have to buy. So I'm a big believer in just having a variety of whatever tastes good or whatever works for your body. And, you know, if you can't digest dairy or something like that, then that's fine. You know, don't have that. Or if you feel better because you are sensitive to gluten, then that's great too. But ultimately, I really feel that a lot of people are, you know, probably cutting out certain things when they really don't need it. and I'm more just about balance.
I love that. Balance and everything in moderation.
Right. Yeah. Everything really. Because if you have too much, even of good stuff, it can become bad.
And it's a much more sustainable lifestyle if you do it in moderation.
Right. And that's the thing for me. I always come back to that. Can you really do this for life? Because I couldn't, for me, like, I want to have bread. I could not have bread for the rest of my life. So, you know, I have it.
Well, and I think the other part of it is that you were doing, you know, quote, everything right when you got diagnosed. So that tells you that it sometimes depends on that, but a lot of times it really doesn't.
Right, right. And I remember also talking with the oncologist, and she said that same thing too. She goes, you know, sometimes you are doing everything right, but just, you know, something went awry here and we just have to deal with it.
The importance of those healthy choices, though, are still super important, because not only do they decrease your risk for breast cancer recurrence, you know, they decrease your risk for heart disease, which we know there are more breast cancer survivors being affected by heart disease than they are with a breast cancer recurrence.
Right, right. And heart disease is still the number one killer, right?
Absolutely.
Right, which I think, you know, a lot of times we neglect. So yeah, the exercise and the eating well all plays into that as well.
Before we wrap up, is there anything that you wanted to share today?
I think the main thing would just be for anyone, you know, going through this, you know, reach out to me, to anyone, whoever, you know, any survivors that you know. It does help so much if you need to cry, or you're afraid of something, or you're not sure, even, you know, post-treatment, now what do I do? Because you are kind of just, you're done, and then you suddenly have a lot of time on your hands, because you go to so many doctor's appointments, and then you're not going in as often for checkups. So, you know, you kind of wonder, like, gosh, am I okay? And you start kind of, you know, doubting yourself, like, what do I do now? Or is this little ache or pain, is this the cancer coming back? But I feel like if you are talking with other survivors, it's been a great help to me, and I think it will help them as well. And it's okay to have bad days, and it's great to have good days, and I mean, we can all share those together.
That is so true, what you said about those aches and pains, because a lot of women experience this. When you're going for visits every 2 to 3 weeks, you're being checked on really frequently. And then it goes from 2 to 3 weeks to 2 to 3 months.
And right.
Your brain can do a lot of things at that time.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's a little unnerving, because, you know, I guess she, you know, my oncologist just says, you know, if you have a headache that doesn't go away, or if you have backaches or bone pains, or you can't breathe or something like that, come in right away. But then, you know, it is kind of scary for the patient, thinking, in my head, I'm thinking, isn't it too late at that point? But she's like, you know, there's really nothing I can do. I can't test, you know, everything to see, you know, if the cancer's come back. So you do have to, at some point, just say, I'm going to go on with my life. I'm going to enjoy my life. I believe that I'm healed. I did everything, you know, that she wanted me to do. You know, I did that chemo, I did the Herceptin. So I think positively, and I know that the exercise is helping and the eating well. So I just now go on with my life. I mean, I did have like a back pain that came, and I was like, oh gosh, what is this? It's not going away. But I ended up just getting very tight, you know, and doing like mm-hmm. some stretching, and it's completely gone. But sadly, your first thought is, you know, oh gosh, did it come back? But you just have to kind of, I guess, like, you learn just to kind of deal with that and not think that as the first thing every time you have a pain. You just don't think anymore that, oh, this is a cancer. Now I kind of think, oh, you know, this is just, I, you know, pulled something, or I did this, and it's going to be okay. And if it doesn't go away after a few weeks or something, then I would, you know, call my oncologist.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, your risk of recurrence is low, and a lot of symptoms can just be what you would feel normally, you know, urinary tract infection, a headache. I mean, it doesn't always have to be cancer, but I do understand that that's where the mind goes for everyone who's been affected by it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy. But yeah, it is something that you just have to learn, I guess. I mean, you know, that's not really living, right? If you're waiting for the cancer to come back every single day. So for me, it's like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, I need to live my life, enjoy my life. And it does make you appreciate and enjoy something every day.
What a beautiful message. And I think a great way to end the conversation. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I think that was everything. I mean, I just know you've had some wonderful women on the show that I know have dealt with so much more than I have. And sometimes I feel like, oh gosh, you know, I feel so bad for even feeling, you know, as bad as I did what I went through. But, you know, even when it's just stage one and you're going through all the surgeries and the treatments, it can be a lot on a person. So yeah, just to everyone else out there who maybe, you know, is just stage one and it's not a big deal, but really it is a big deal because it's you and it does change your life. So it's okay to, you know, not feel so great about it, but you're going to be okay.
Absolutely. It's life-changing for everyone because it's, you had your life and now it's completely different. And no matter what stage it is important for each individual person.
Yes. And like, thank you so much. I mean, I just think it's wonderful that you as a doctor too, are, you know, you're learning now from the patient's perspective, and that is just going to make you just so much better, I think. And I think it's great that it gets out there more and more to other doctors as well.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, I mean, I never have the luxury of sitting down with a patient for an hour and just talking about, you know, the visits are 15 minutes. Okay, we're going through all the side effects. All right, did you get your mammogram? You know, it's just a checklist. And you really, I mean, this is such a luxury for me to be able to do this. And I've learned a lot about what is important from the patient perspective, because it's very different than what we think of as the oncologist perspective.
Definitely. Yeah, because I know my oncologist, she is so sweet, but I really think that she probably didn't really understand what I was going through. And I had wrote a blog, I think, on my website too, that I'd said about, you know, when I walked in with a smile on my face, like, you know, I was pretending, you know, I was just trying to do the best I could to get through that day. And I don't know if sometimes the doctors, the nurses realize how hard that is.
We don't. You don't realize it because, one, you know, unless you've been in that position, or, but also you just, there's not enough time. And so you don't have enough time to kind of, unfortunately, address all of that. And I struggle with that a lot because there's only things you have to get through, you know, You're right. A lot of people come in with a smile on their face and it's not really a smile, but you won't get that until you spend more time.
Right. Right. And I remember being in some of my appointments too and thinking like, well, I'm doing pretty well, so I don't want to keep her too long, you know, and I wouldn't say anything. So I would just kind of, you know, yeah, everything's good, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like you say, because I felt bad, I knowing that she had to get to the next patient.
It's all the time pressure. So that's why I do this, because I'm learning a lot. And I feel like it kind of brings back, you know, why I do this in the first place. And that's really that patient experience.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to my conversation with Tammy. I learned so much from her, and I think one of the most important take-home points from today's episode is talk to your loved ones, the people that are supporting you. Tell them what is going on. Tell them how you're feeling. They are not mind readers, and they can't help you unless you communicate with them. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and as always, if you are loving the show, please take a moment to leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts, as that is the best way to help me grow the show. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dr. Toplinsky, as well as on my website, www.interludecancerstories.com. Have a great weekend, and I will see all of you next week.